The General Services Administration is phasing out the apps.gov portal. Now, this decision comes more than 3 years after the site launched in grand style. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller joins us now with details on GSA's decision. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So what is GSA doing?
So basically, they looked at apps.gov, which was a portal launched about 3 years ago, as you mentioned, by then-CIO of the federal government, Vivek Kundra, with the idea of making it easier for agencies not necessarily to buy apps for their mobile devices, but really to move to cloud computing. The idea behind apps.gov was give the agencies tools and easy to a place to find those tools to move to cloud, not just from a server or from a specific type of service or product, but more of the fact, like, here's some areas within cloud that you guys could, the agencies could move to. And basically over time what they found out was it just didn't make sense. It wasn't working. And so what happened was GSA decided just in the last week or so to actually move all of apps.gov, all the tools, all the media applications to either GSAAdvantage.gov or to the free social media applications on howto.gov. And that was from a GSA spokeswoman told me on Friday. The idea here is all about making it easier for GSA's customers, which are agencies, to find, buy these applications, these services. So I think what they said is they looked at their offerings and said, you know what? This is just another layer. Let's make it easier on our customers.
Jason, do you think that GSA might have put the cart before the horse? Because when they launched the cloud computing initiative, then they went ahead and did the FedRAMP, which is the security assurance for those cloud providers, and they're not even done with that one yet. Here we are 3 years later, 4 years later.
I think two things happen. One, I think if you're going to put the blame on somebody, you put it on OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. GSA, in many cases, is acting as the acquisition, the fulfillment arm of OMB. And I think in this case, OMB saw the potential for cloud. They didn't maybe understand the whole entire picture of how cloud would roll out, and to their credit, no one did. It wasn't it was new technology in some ways that it would get used to, and they said, well, app stores are big. Apple has their app store. At the time in 2009, Google was just really getting going their app store. BlackBerry had their app store. So they said, we need an app store to make it easier to move to the cloud. And I think you're right, Tom. I think that they didn't see all the different evolution that would happen around cloud. And now that they can step back 3 years later, they can say, you know what? This isn't working. Let's move away. And you got to give both GSA and OMB credit for making that decision to turn it off. I mean, a lot of times in government, we hear this all the time. Things get turned on, but they never get turned off.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Jason, from the agency's perspective, why didn't they bite on this? And are they finding out that they can get these resources elsewhere?
I think you're right. I think one of the reasons agencies didn't bite was one person industry described it as, they said they would go to you, like when you go to the store, but you buy it on the web. So what agencies would do, they would go to the apps.gov, look at the different things, but then they'd go to the GSA schedule or another vehicle to buy it. Tom Suter, who's the president of Mobile Gov and is a big player in the mobile market, he says, listen, there's no clear market for these apps. He goes, for small purchases, government agencies use the government credit card, and there's plenty of commercial sites to buy those commodity-type products. Now, for larger products, he says, there's too many other options available. And he said, like, you're not going to go, he used this example that he gave me, you're not going to go to apps.gov and just buy and spend almost $600,000 on something called a talent acquisition suite with a one-paragraph description. I mean, you really want to, you're going to look at it, you're going to say, maybe that's something I want. Then you're going to call the vendor. You're going to go online, look at, like, GSA Advantage or the other, see where the vendor provides their services through, make a decision. You may put out a task order against that contract. You may put out a full and open competition to see who else has a talent acquisition suite in the cloud. And basically what they found was no one used it. And in fact, I looked up the fiscal 2011 Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies, which ran apps.gov. In their annual report, they said there was 3,000 cloud-based products and services, and apps.gov received about 3,800 hits a month. But agencies only purchased 5 million in cloud computing services and products from the site. So if you can, 3,800 people go in, but only 5 million in products and services, that's just not a big use amount of use.
That's right. If you were a private contractor on a big GWAC and that's all you got, they'd probably kick you off the next time they renewed it. But let me ask you this. There might be another angle here, and as all of these agencies go to the mobile apps and give mobile devices or have their people buy their own mobile devices, agency after agency is creating an app store so that when the employee needs to provision his or her device, they go to the agency app store and download what they need to get for working for whatever the agency might be. It seems like GSA had a good chance to become the one place so that every agency didn't have to duplicate its own app store for its mobile apps that are particular to that agency.
And I think that's where the other piece comes in around this. Apps.gov didn't really sell apps. And I think that was the issue. I think what GSA has done well with is their apps.usa.gov, which actually lists those mobile apps that you're talking about that you can go get, or whether it's agencies buy or consumers or citizens like us goes and downloads them free, whether it's the TSA app or a CDC app or
and
whatever.
And this morning, the Plumbook app.
Exactly. That's going to be on apps.usa.gov versus apps.gov, which is then you have confusion of the taxonomy. What is apps.gov then? Well, apps.gov is the cloud computing storefront in many ways, which GSA and OMB have been promising for a few years as well. That hasn't gotten off the ground either. So I think that was part of the reason why GSA said, you know, let's just phase this out. This is not working like we expected it to.
And now they're sending people to gsaadvantage.gov and howto.gov for the same information.
Basically, I think that's where they were going anyways from in many cases, especially GSA Advantage, to buy the services. And then the other interesting thing is, and show you how the evolution has happened. So GSA is looking at something called a cloud brokerage model. This is the idea of kind of you have like an insurance broker or a car broker. You kind of have a middleman in between the buyer and the seller. Now, GSA stepped back and said, well, maybe this cloud broker model, which looks good, is not something we're going to go to because agencies seem to be going to the Alliant contract to buy those brokerage services already. So maybe we just add that to the Alliant contract. That's one example. It's not in stone yet. But that's what they're looking at as the market changes. And I think that's the same thing happened here. They looked at this apps.gov market and said, you know what? Everyone's already going to GSA Advantage or the schedules or other types of contract vehicles, and this apps.gov just isn't making sense, and it doesn't make sense for us to spend more money to do the upkeep on the site.